In the end, Lardass Rivera was unmoved by Lajudice's bail argument. She set the bail where it had been since the day he was arrested, at a measly 10 grand, a token number reflecting the fact that Jacob had nowhere to run and, after all, his family was known to the court. Lajudice shrugged off the defeat. His bail argument was nothing but grandstanding anyway. "Your Honor," he barreled on, "the Commonwealth would also raise an objection to the entry of an appearance by Mr. Klein as defense counsel in this case. Mr. Klein was previously engaged as attorney for another suspect in this homicide, a man whose name I will not mention in open court. To represent a second defendant in the same case creates a clear conflict of interest. Defense counsel would surely have been privy to confidential information from this other suspect that might impact the defense in this case. I can only imagine that the defendant is planting the seed for an appeal based on ineffective assistance if he is convicted." The suggestion of a sneaky trick pulled Jonathan to his feet. It was exceptionally rare for one lawyer to attack another so openly. Even in the scrum of a bitter trial, in court a formal, clubby politeness was always maintained. Jonathan was genuinely insulted. "Your Honor, if the Commonwealth had taken the time to ascertain the actual facts, he would never have made that accusation. The fact is, I was never retained by the other suspect in this case, nor did I ever have any conversation with him about it. This was a client I represented years ago on an unrelated matter who called me out of the blue to come to the Newton police station where he was being questioned. My sole involvement with him in this case was to advise that he not answer any questions. As he was never accused, I never spoke to him again. I was not privy to any information, confidential or otherwise, now or in any previous matter that bears on this case even remotely. There is no conflict of interest at all." "Your Honor," Lajudice said with an unctuous shrug, "as an officer of the court, it is my duty to report an issue like this. If Mr. Klein is offended, is it your duty to deny the defendant the counsel of his choosing, or to call him a liar before the case even begins?" "All right," Lardass said, "both of you. Mr. Lajudice, the Commonwealth's objection to the entry of Mr. Klein's appearance as counsel is noted and overruled." She glanced up from her papers and eyed him over the top of the judge's bench. "Don't get carried away." Lajudice limited his response to a pantomime of disagreement, a tip of the head, eyebrows raised, so as not to provoke the judge. But in the shadow trial of public opinion, he had probably scored a point. In the next day's papers, on talk radio, on the internet chat boards that dissected the case, they would be discussing whether Jacob Barber was trying to pull a fast one. Anyway, it was never Lajudice's intention to be liked. "I'm sending this case out to Judge French for trial," Lardass Rivera said with finality. She flipped the file toward the clerk. "We'll recess for 10 minutes. She frowned at the cameraman and the reporters in the back and, I may have imagined this, at Lajudice.